Steve Dilling, founding member of one of the most legendary bluegrass bands in modern history, Third Time Out, left a few years ago, formed a new band, Sideline, and their fourth project is now available. It's called Front and Center. We're going to talk to Steve, who, by the way, is one of the most acknowledged by every banjo player alive today, one of the better banjo players also walking around the planet. Wonderful guys. This is the maybe second or third time Steve has been a guest. In the second hour, Steve Dilling of Sideline is going to tell you all about the brand new album and the band. Really happy to welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass one of my favorite banjo players of all time, Steve Dilling. How you doing, Steve?
Doing great, Steve. It's good to be on your show.
It's always fun, and for the listeners, I guess the Sideline band has been going, if I have four albums, including this most recent one, Front and Center, how long of a time, we'll talk about the band and the current makeup, but you've been doing the Sideline kind of almost like a Sideline project after you left Third Time Out for how long?
Yeah, well, I guess 2013 is what we say. That's the year that we became a band that we've actually played a bluegrass festival. I was still with Russell. I left Russell at the end of 2013. But the band, hence the name, it was a side project for all of us.
Yeah.
All the other bands.
Right.
We cut that one CD. That was going to be the only CD we ever were going to make, and we were going to play our four or five shows a year and have that to sell. And, I left Russell and planned on getting off the road, not traveling, and had some health issues to address. And then I found myself where I was missing my friends and missed performing, and said, I think I got one more run left in me.
So this was your fourth time out.
Yeah, exactly. So 2013 probably, the whole idea of the thing probably come to me about 2010 when I would be off the road in December. We always took the month off. And I had all my friends around Raleigh, North Carolina, where I live. They were not necessarily bluegrass folks. And they were like, man, when are you going to play something local? So I started putting these pickup bands together. I mean, I've had some good bands that, from Ron Stewart, Adam Steffi, on down, played these shows with.
Powerful.
Them. That's some great live recordings.
That's powerful, yeah.
And then, Skip Cherry Holmes and my daughter, they got married, and the Cherry Holmes retired. So I knew I wanted to play some with Skip, and, it just kind of turned out the way it did.
And I'll tell you, it's Front and Center Sidelines. I'm talking to Steve Dilling, and it's on, this one's on Mountain Home.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and produced by one of my favorite human beings on the planet, Tim Surratt.
Man, Tim is a jewel of the world.
It's
funny how all that happened. I just happened to be talking to Tim at a show at a festival somewhere. We were both working, and I mentioned something to him that we were looking at maybe changing labels and trying to add a producer. We'd never had an outside source to help us with our recordings, and Tim and I are good friends, and we enjoy a lot of the same things and stay in touch. He was just so wonderful to work with. He was so just so patient with us and had great ideas and, liked our ideas, and it was fun. I mean, he took a lot, recording is stressful. He took a lot of the stress out just with some of his old stories he had. Man, he's just a... You've been around him,
He was on the board with me. Then he was the head of the IBMA board, and it was just
there was
no situation he couldn't defuse.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And I think him being like that showed up in our work on this record.
Yeah.
We told him we never wanted to record without him ever again. He said that sounds good with me. So we've been back in the studio one time since then with him. So, he's wonderful.
He's a good guy, and I have to tell you this off the air. Before we started, I was mentioning, Steve, your playing is just, it's everything that I tell people this. I started playing banjo in the 70s and then quit for law school and just, stuff comes along. But as I was getting back into it, Steve Dilling was one of the guys. I mean, Steve Dilling was one of the this will rack everybody's memory. You were one of the AccuTab guys that you could buy a book. You know, you remember that when John Lawless was doing that before Bluegrass Today, and it's like, man, you got to get the Steve Dilling book and figure out what he's doing on this. And this is Steve Dilling in the house. I mean, the band's great. I'm not saying that at all, but as a banjo player, I just thought, boy, that's a crisp, powerful sound coming off of a recording, and you're just playing great, man.
Well, thank you so much. That means a lot. I struggle with it daily. You know, you and I have talked about, and I have a few hand problems I deal with, and it's a struggle. But these guys I'm playing with now are, you know, a lot of these young guys, and they're full of energy, and I just try to feed off their energy, and you know, really, not that I didn't put a lot to other recordings, but this particular recording, being on a new label for us, it was just a lot of things that played part in that, and I felt really good about it. And of course, there's, you know, two or three roles I play, you can't do so much, but I think I got out of it anyway.
It's crisp and clean and jumps off the record. I'm just thrilled to hear you playing on this album.
Thank you.
You know, it warms a banjo player's heart when you put something on. You think, man, it's just jumping off of there. The Thunder Dan off of this album, just talk about jumping, was a single that was released not that long ago. I know I put it on Unreal Bluegrass right away. It just took off.
Mm-hmm.
It just took off.
It did. It's funny how that song just. Because if you listen to it lyrically, it's not the most pleasant.
No, it's an up tempo. It's up tempo, but it's one of those murder death kill songs that we love so much.
Yeah, it is. But it has a catchy melody to it, and then the repeat line throughout it, and you know, it's already probably the biggest song we've ever had. You know, we do it now. We were up in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania this past weekend. We had to do it twice up there. So, you know, it was really cool for us to get that. We heard the demo on that, fell in love with it. Knew that was one we wanted to record right away. And as soon as Tim Cern heard it, he's like, there you go, that's the first single. So, it's a catchy tune.
It is a catchy tune. It is. When you listen to the lyrics, you think, man, this is really driving. Uh-oh, this is not a good, this is an evil guy. not like Lysander Hayes, another song is just a rascal. That's another tune on
the
album. He's just a rascally guy, but Thunder Dan is not someone you want to run up on the trail.
No, it's not. You know, we did a music video on that, and the guy that played Thunder Dan, the rough mountain-looking guy. But it's really funny, Steve, that I had a lady call me today. We did a little TV thing this morning, live TV, and the lady, we did Thunder Dan on there, and she called me. She went to our website, and my number's on there, and she called me and wanted to order the CD, and she says, I've got to get that song for my grandson. And I'm thinking, is your grandson? She listened to the lyrics, you know. But it's had that effect on people. I've had a number of people mention that.
You've got, there's 12 great songs on here, and you follow Thunder Dan with, to me, this is a classic Brink Brinkman song, Frozen in Time. I mean, that's a story. That's just pure Brink Brinkman all the way through.
I tell you what, man, I felt so lucky to get that song. You know, the record prior to this, Colors and Crossroads, we released, Brink had written that tune. It was a title cut. And we've recorded two or three of his tunes. And I was talking to him on the phone, and he says, listen, I have a song I want to sing. He said, Marty Raven has had it on hold for 2 years. And he said he started doing the Shenandoah thing. And you know, I called him and said, hey, man, this song, you know, needs to get out. So he released it, and he said, you guys were the first people I thought of. And he emailed me that song, and my wife and I sat there and just, I just knew that was going to be, you know, a great song for us. And it's, you know, we got a good cut. Bailey did a great job singing it. And we do it live. And I swear everywhere we play, somebody comes up in tears, you know, after listening to that song.
And the reason, I'll bet you, Steve, is because they have those same kind of memories. And then I bet you that happens a lot. I do to a certain extent. And I was thinking about this today as I'm thinking about talking with you. I just wonder how much further past the next generation that's going to pull back those memories, because I don't know that that type of experience is as common as it was with you probably. I was experienced it as a kid right down in Grant County. We're talking about Elmer Burchett's song, but last time I sat and talked with you, you were about 30 miles from me,
yeah,
which is my ancestral home, mm-hmm, that county you were in. So I had that experience down there. But the experience is talking about those memories of music and the family and whatnot. I just happen to think, I wonder how long we're going to get the pull on that on those memories.
You know, I've never thought of that, but you're exactly right, because times have changed, and, you know, building and, you know, going home to big farmhouses and lots of acres of land that were in your family, it's becoming few and far between.
Yeah.
So I've never thought about that, but you're exactly right.
I just feel like that whole experience, but boy, it's beautiful. And as I heard it, I thought, just classic. And I'm talking about Mark Brink, and Brinkman Goes by Brink, but I mean, it's a great song. And then we get to Elmer's song, which is updrive,
mm-hmm,
up-tempo. And the last time I saw you, I'm talking about Elmer Burchett Jr., you were down in Elmer's place in Grant County, Kentucky,
mm-hmm,
and Elmer gave you this song, and he's a great songwriter. Elmer's a good banjo player.
He sure is.
He's got a good banjo, and he plays well, but that's a whole different and that's actually, I guess, the melody you're playing on banjo breaks is throughout the song, I hear, is it Groundhog? Is that what I'm hearing?
Groundhog,
yeah.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
The melody, you know, the kickoff I did on it was more of following the chord progression of the song, and then we wanted to put a little jam piece in there, you know, just to kind of, you know, just spice it up, so to speak. And Elmer is the one that gave me the idea of that, but he had mentioned something about playing Sally Ann or something like that. But Groundhog, the melody and chord progression, that was so similar to the song Old Time Way. We put that in there.
It's perfect. It rolls along perfectly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. That was Jason Moore came up with the idea to do that, and we presented it to Tim, and he was all about it, you know. So that's pretty cool the way that came about. And then we come back and repeat the first verse.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Then so you got Brink Brinkman. You got Elmer Burchett, Gordon Lightfoot. Then who chose a great song for a winter's night for this one?
Well, I did. We worked that song up. Me and a fellow by the name of Wes Laster from down on the Outer Banks, North Carolina. They have a great festival down there in the fall. We did a fundraiser / tribute concert to Tony Rice down there a couple years ago. And we had, from Doyle Austin to White Rice, Kenny Smith, Josh Williams. We had a whole host of guys participate in that. And we started from Tony's early New South days all the way up through the album band. We did it in different segments.
Mm-hmm.
And in between each segment, we would bring a young guitar player or somebody that Tony influenced, you know, Kenny Smith, Caleb Smith. And Skip, my son-in-law, Cherry Holmes, he worked that song up to do on that part of it. And just hearing him do it, I just thought it fit his voice so good. So we started putting it in our live shows, you know, just as a filler tune. And we started getting so many requests for it. And I mentioned to him one day, I said, man, we should really record that song.
It's beautiful.
And, he did a fantastic job with it. And, you know, Tony has done a lot of recording that Mountain Home, and they were all about it. So, it's a very highly requested song we do. People love that thing. And, you know, he sings it real soft. It just fits his voice really well.
And Tony was always borrowing or recording Gordon Lightfoot tunes. He'd always sneak in when he had his own solo thing going, and well, they were great. I mean, all those great Gordon Lightfoot things that he borrowed from, that was perfect for that thing.
Didn't Rounder even put out a recording of all his Lightfoot songs?
Yes, I think they did. I think they pulled them all together and reissued them. Yeah, there's tons.
They did.
You're right. That's a good one. Blue. And I don't know Danny Davis, the next tune, Bluefield. By the way, before I forget, thank you so much for making time to do this, because you tell me you're in the middle of your festival that you put on is either starting for Memorial Day weekend.
It actually starts tomorrow. We're down in the campground full of people here tonight, and, you know, some jamming going on and picking and whatnot. We got outside and fired up the grill. We never get to camp anywhere. So we have the bus here, and our wives and family will all be coming in tomorrow. And so we kind of had a guy's night out. We fired the grill up out here, cooked some hamburgers tonight, and Yeah, it's Little John's Mountain Music Festival in Burlington, North Carolina.
There you go.
Every Memorial Day.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're the host band for that. Great time down here.
Well, I know you're...
I'm glad I could get a few minutes to get away and get happy.
And I'll just tell you this, Steve. I had a cheese sandwich while you were having grilled hamburgers. So, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve. We'll have to get you down here next year and take care of you. We'll wind and dine you a little bit.
Okay, back to Bluefield, West Virginia Mountain Girl. Long title, Danny Davis. I don't know his writing.
Well, do you know Chris Davis, mountain player?
Yes.
He's worked with Marty Raven.
Yeah, okay.
Portal, some of It's his father.
Oh, okay.
It's his father, and I want to say he's from up there around Dayton, Ohio area.
Okay.
I'm thinking that. Maybe not. He may be. Well, I may have that wrong. But anyway, it's Chris Davis' father.
Okay.
Good guy, good traditional singer. And actually got this song the same night I got Elmer's tune. It was on the same demo. Elmer had played that. And that's one of those songs, you know, you hear a song and you like, I could hear this song being in a jam session in a bluegrass.
Absolutely.
That's what I heard when I heard that. And I'm certainly hoping that it does. That means somebody's listening to our music. But it just had that appeal to me and what I really wanted to cut.
And it takes off. I mean, it's perfect for that kind of, like you say, jam session, because you're up-tempo. And like I said, everything on this album, you guys are just killing it. And let's stop before we get that long to see his face, and I want you to tell me the current makeup of the band. I know, of course, I know Skip. But talk about the rest of the members of the band for a second.
Yeah, well, like Skip Cherry Holmes on guitar, and Jason Moore on upright bass, you know, from the Mountain Heart. Also worked with James King. And then we have three newer guys on mandolin. Is Troy Boone, who was with us last time I saw you. He's been with us about a year and a half now.
Okay.
He's from Erwin, Tennessee. He's out of the ETSU Bluegrass program.
Oh,
now.
Wow.
He's from that. And then Bailey Coe is on the rhythm guitar, second guitar, I guess you would call it, doing a lot of the lead and tenor vocals. And then Nathan Aldridge played the fiddle on that record. But Nathan just left us. He just went to work with Third Time Out. His dream was to play with Russell. And, you know, I was glad. As bad as we hated to see him go, I told him I was really glad he got to follow his dreams, because I can remember, you know, playing shows when I was with Russell and I would see Nathan there, and you know, he just really what he wanted to do. So we have a new fiddle player, Daniel Greason, who's also out of the East Tennessee State Bluegrass program, doing a great job. So really happy with my band. I'm proud of them. Good guys, good hard working guys, and I couldn't be happier.
The next tune that on the album, I Long to See His Face, you have two songs on here, that this and Satan's Chains, which are the ones that are overtly, I don't say gospel, because it's not really gospel, but spiritual, sort of, or at least religious.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
right?
Is that accurate? Is that a fair statement, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is.
And that's a nice
piece
on that one.
Yeah, I Long to See His...
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a tune written by Rick Lane from up in the state of New Hampshire. Good songwriter, and he sends several tunes, and there was a couple others that we considered recording, but wound up and got a good cut on that one.
And Lysander Hayes I referred to earlier. I know who Mylon Miller is. I don't know Beth Husband, but Lysander Hayes is, and by the way, that's, I asked you before we went on, that's Skip playing clawhammer banjo on that tune.
Correct, yeah.
And Lysander,
Skip's a great clawhammer player.
Yeah, on the last album he did... Was it Dark? Did you sing on a solo?
No, that was our old Dobro player, Brad. Don Coy.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Played that, and we've got such a positive response at our live shows from that, we decided to do that. Mylon sent me that demo, and as soon as I listened to that, all I could hear was clawhammer banjo.
Yeah.
And so I got a hold of Skip. We listened down, and yeah, it made a great team. We didn't have to change the arrangement much on that either. It just kind of had that feel to it, an old-time flavor. you know, with the claw hammer and the fiddle, you know, playing
music. Yeah, there's a long draw on the bow before it gets into the song. And as mm-hmm. we talked before we went on here, Lysander's just a rascal, and nobody dies in this song, yeah. but he does everything
You know, I asked Mylon about that. I said, is that a true story? And he said, no, he and I love his wife or whoever, they were at a state park somewhere, and one of those markers you see about a historical marker, and the guy's name was Lysander Hayes, and he just thought that was the coolest name and wrote that song about it. So I don't know if Lysander was a rascal like he is on the song, but that's where he came up with the title.
We'll have to find the marker and find out, was he a hero or was he just a rascal?
You know, I think he told me it was in Kentucky, if I remember serves me correctly.
All right, well.
You'll have to get the lowdown.
I'll look him up. And then you do Dudley Connell's Memories that we shared. There's so many great songs. You guys do them all so well, but then you got Dudley, and you got Darryl Webb later. But the mm-hmm. Dudley Connell song.
Yeah, you know, the Johnson Mountain Boys actually recorded that song. And I was at the MAC Festival in Columbus, Ohio last summer, and I heard Dudley do that, he and his wife. And I remember that tune and just got to playing with it in my mind. And we've kind of slowed it down and got more of what I would call a Del McCurry bluesy flavor to it, so to speak. And Bailey did a great job of that. Dudley, he heard the cut and was just really happy, which, you know, Dudley's a hero to us.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Getting his blessing was really cool.
There's 12 songs on here, and I take it that Tim Sherritt had some input and brought some songs, or maybe certainly had recommendations. How do you get down to the 12? We'll finish hitting the rest of them then, but how do you pick these?
Well, we get, unfortunately, there's no songwriters within the band. I've probably written 50 songs, and they all sound the same, you know, but as the band has gotten more notoriety, we've started getting songwriters sending us tunes. We listen to them, and we get them all the time. I got 3 emailed to me today by a songwriter. And we just listen down, and I guess I kind of listen to it more than anybody. And if it's something I think that I want to play for the guys, you know, we'll get together and listen. Or if one of the other guys has one that, you know, they want to bring to the fold. And then we just kind of get a group together and see what fits best. And there's a couple tunes on this record that actually we were going to record on the previous record, but it didn't make the cut, and so we re-recorded on the Zara Webb tune you talked about was one of them that we were going to record on the previous record. So we just kind of get the fit, and then we sent them all. We did at my shop at my house, we did a little cell phone recording, basically. We rehearsed and recorded them, and I sent the songs to Tim, and you know, he was just all about it. I mean, he didn't want to change anything.
Good.
And then we did the one instrumental, the last piece on there, Cotton Eye Joe. That was not even going to be on the recording. And it's kind of funny. We were getting ready to cut the track to the Darryl Webb tune there, All Because of Me. And we just were playing around the studio and ripped into this Cotton Eye Joe 100 mile an hour and played through it. And when we got done, Tim pushed the talk back mic, and he said, "What in the world was that?" And you know, it was like, "Cotton Eye Joe," and he says, "Do it again. We're going to record it." And that's how the song made the recording.
That's good.
Just one of those things. But it's a good one to close out the CD.
It is. It really is. And I've played that on the air since I've gotten the CD a while ago. It's the CD's out and available, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was released April 27th.
Okay.
It's been out a little while now.
That's right. I get these things a little early, which is good. And I had picked up mm-hmm. a single, Thunder Dam, but I've been playing. I played, I think, Cotton Eye Joe just in the last broadcast, and I've played a couple others, too. And Thunder Dam's always fun to play. But so Cotton Eye Joe's the last one, traditional. And then you do the Darryl Webb, which is another Somebody's Dying song.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one Darryl. He told me that was one of the first songs he had ever written. And I heard him do it live one time, and I always remember that song. And He's like, well, you know, Darren was a founding member of our Penn sideline. He's on the first recording.
That's right. You're right.
He, you know, he was busy with his stuff when we started playing a lot of dates and couldn't do both things. But he always reminded me about that. He said, I'm still waiting for you to cut that song. So glad we were able to get it out. He's really pleased with our recording of it.
Darryl's a good guy. And, boy, if people think that he's just like when you see him on stage, and give him a Stratocaster. Or give him a banjo. He's just like, what? Wait a minute. You can tear that up and do these other things. And he has a blast doing it. He's a good guy. Darryl's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy and a phenomenal musician.
Oh, God. We skipped over something out of nothing. And again, I sometimes wonder,
yeah.
You know, I don't know these songs. I don't know Luann Welcome, and I don't know John Moreau either. So it's a great song, but I don't know who these people are. So you help me on that.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with them, but the publisher on that is a friend of mine, Gary Ferguson, from up around Maryland, Pennsylvania area, and he had sent me some demos of some songs, and his publishing company, he's a writer as well, but he didn't write this tune, but he published it, and it's actually a woman singing on the demo, but I could just hear something, a drive in that song, and so we thought it was something that would feature Skip really well and worked it up to feature him with the lead vocal. Not that he's actually singing it in a low register, totally different from the way we heard it. But it's one of those that kind of gets up, driving, kind of gets in your face, so to speak.
It does. There's a lot of good up-tempo stuff, I mean, which is good. I mean, I think that shows off the instrumentality. I'll make up a word there for the band, but let me ask you this: is Gary Ferguson? That's a name that rings a bell for me, but from a long time ago.
Yeah, Gary's been around
fiddle,
a while.
Fiddle player? Was he a fiddle player?
No, he's a guitar player.
Different guy. All right.
Yeah, he's a guitar player, and he's written a lot. I know Larry Sparks has recorded several of his songs, and a couple civil. The Last Day at Gettysburg, I think.
Okay.
It was a big hit for Larry. I think Gary wrote that tune.
Okay.
Good guy, good writer. I hope that I saw him this past weekend, and he said he had a whole list of new songs to give me. So I hope we can record one of his songs one day.
Are you guys, I know you have your festival coming up here for the weekend event, and are you... We'll hit this before. I want to talk about Satan's Chains. We mentioned a little bit, but are you getting out more with this lineup?
Yes, we are. We have a really busy summer ahead. We were kind of discussing that today, trying to make some vacation plans with our families and whatnot. But, yeah, it's a really big year for us. We've got some new festivals that we're playing this year, some new venues. We played, as this band, Sideline, we played Merle Fest for the first time this year, which was really good for us. So, yeah, a lot of good things happening and new venues and whatnot. So, yeah, it's going to be a great year for
us. And I assume then, and if you look up Sideline BG, right, that's the website? Sideline BG, and you can find probably where you're going to be, and you can find all about all the recordings. I know there's a store there, and I know that Front and Center is discussed there. And the other three albums of Sideline,
right.
As we've discussed, Session 1, Session 2, and then Colors and Crossroad, and then the most recent one. But that's where they can find you.
Sure, it is, and the whole tour schedule's on there, and we have a Facebook as well, and we're real active. We post a lot of pictures and videos and whatnot. We try to stay connected as much as we can.
Yeah, I'm glad
these,
you do.
That's where it pays to have these young guys. They're really good.
You know what, man? And you know this from being in bands in the past and now, today, if you're not doing that, you're getting lost.
No, you know, and that when we went and met our first meeting with Mountain Home before we ever signed with them, which, you know, Mountain Home's arguably the biggest label in bluegrass, you know, these days with the roster they have. They had done their homework, and they even brought up, which made me feel good, said, you guys are really active, you know, on the social media. And he said, you know, that's a big plus. They were impressed by that.
Good.
And, you know, we try to do that. I mean, you have to stay connected to your fans and whatnot and get them to support you at your concerts and whatnot. So we try to stay heavily involved with that.
Well, it's a great new album, Satan's Chains. We talked about a little about the only other, there's two, I say only other, I Long to See His Face and Satan's Chains. Or Satan's Chains is more about, I guess, the sinning that you do while you get to the point where you long to see his face. That's the prequel to I Long to See His Face after Satan's Chains got a hold of it. Let's do it that way. Man, this is a great album. I really enjoy the heck out of it. I love hearing you playing again. And not that it's, it's good to have a new record with Steve Dillon really popping the banjo. The band is great. And, I mean, I just love this sound. I'm thinking, dude, you're this is Steve Dillon in the house. What I said when we started, he's, here he is again, folks, and it just jumps off of the record. I'm just so happy with it.
Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate that. Like I said earlier, these guys are just so much fun to play with, and there's a lot of positive attitude around here. You know, I'm glad it's showing in our work.
It is. It is, absolutely. Steve Dillon, man, thanks so much. I always enjoy talking to you. I'll catch you somewhere as you're buzzing through the area, or we'll find you.
Oh,
man. You bring me a hamburger. You put wrap it up and I'll microwave it when we meet again.
We'll make sure we do. Hey, these are even steak burgers.
I had cheese on dry bread. All right, go ahead. You're entitled. All right, brother. Listen, I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say the only reason that they were on sale, we would have had the most fatty hamburger meat you could buy. Which is on sale.
That's okay. You know, sometimes the fatty hamburger meat is not so bad when you do it right.
That's right.
All right. But listen, man, Steve Dillon, Sideline, great new album, Front and Center on Mountain Home. I've enjoyed it immensely. I love the album.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
All right, man. I'll let you go. Get back to business.
All right.
See you,
man. Take care.
Bye.